From listener-supported KTOO, welcome to Juno Afternoon, broadcasting live from the homelands of the Akwan and on demand. As a podcast, it's Wednesday, May Day, May 1st. I'm your host. It's not Friday. I'm your host, Andy Klein, sitting in on a Wednesday. I'm really glad to be here. Gunashish, thank you for joining the conversation. And on today's show, the Juno Douglas City Museum is going to be here with a preview of their upcoming new exhibit of Raven's Tale Regalia for Future Leaders. Juno Community Band's annual Spring Winds Concert is this Friday at Holy Trinity. We'll find out all about that. The Juno Arts and Humanities Council is here with First Friday Roundup, along with their featured artist, Rebecca Shea. And the annual Blessing of the Fleet and Reading of the Names is this Saturday. We'll chat with Carl Broderson all about that. Those conversations and more coming up on this hour of Juno Afternoon. I hope you stay tuned. And the weather, well, it's going to be gorgeous for the rest of today and also heading into the weekend, mostly sunny skies with the chance of rain coming up not till Sunday. So we've got a great little stretch of weather in front of us. You ever wonder how KTOO came to be? Well, tune in on the radio or online for a special two-hour edition of Juno Afternoon this Friday, May 3rd. It starts at 2 o'clock and it goes all the way to 4 o'clock. It's a two-hour spectacular. It's going to be a kickoff celebration honoring 50 years of KTOO. Really, what a wonderful institution here. So glad to be a small part of it. We still have a few seats left for Friday's audience for Juno Afternoon. So if you're interested in attending that very special Juno Afternoon spectacular, you can email us at junoafternoon@ktoo.org. Boston says there's just a couple of seats left, so act quickly if you do want to attend. If you're in Juno, join us for an open house at 360 Egan Drive right after the show. That starts at 4 p.m. and there's going to be refreshments and items from the history of KTOO on display all throughout the hallways and throughout the building. It's going to be a great day on Friday. I hope you can join us.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com.
Hanson Gress, Ka eat with the Shu Yi, we Kashuk are ye tin. Jin Katka K Jin Tak Anakaya Haanikach, Gunshish.
You're listening to Juno Afternoon on community-supported KTOO. I'm Andy Klein, your sit-in host today on this Wednesday. So glad to be here. And joining me now are three folks here. It's Kate Ross from the City Museum. Kate, how you doing?
Oh, I'm good.
So good to see you, as always. Great to have you here. Ray Mills is here.
Hello.
Hi, Ray.
Thanks
how are
for
you?
Having me.
Yeah, absolutely. And Dunedin Jackson is here as well.
Yes. Hello.
Thanks to all of you for coming in. Kate, you're with the City Museum, but you've brought in two people that we can talk to about this wonderful exhibit that's happening with weaving.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, so we're really, really excited for our summer 2024 exhibition. We're going to have our big First Friday opening reception this Friday, May 3rd, 4:30 to 7. And of course, that's free. And we really welcome everyone and encourage everyone to come and see this historic exhibit that we're putting together. And I'm so thrilled to be joined today by Ray and Dunedin, two weavers, artists, visionaries, incredible humans, and I would love to invite...
They just look like normal people to me.
You don't know what's under the surface. I would love to invite Dunedin to say the full title for our summer exhibition. As a language speaker, we'd love to hear that.
It is Yesh Ku Adki Ka Shade Nachi Yan Sauk Jis, Raven's Tale Regalia for Future Leaders.
Thank you. That's really wonderful to hear that. Appreciate hearing that. And tell me a little bit about Well, tell me a little bit about the scope and the idea behind the exhibit, and any of you who the most appropriate person could take that.
The exhibit is part of this much larger project that's been in the works for years that Ray was instrumental in bringing together. So maybe you want to just speak a little bit about these robes and what this historic event is happening and what happened last night also.
Yeah. So a few months ago, Lily came to me and asked if I would like to help.
This is Lily Hope, of course.
Yes, Lily Hope.
Sort of goes without saying. Yeah.
But household name.
I was just saying that I'm not allowed to say no to Lily Hope. but I was asked to help gather these adult-sized robes, and it was kind of a secret for the public, which just made it even more magical. And I'm getting goosebumps again and probably tearing up a little bit because last night was so amazing.
I'll stop you and just explain to me when you say gathering adult size robes. So are these historic robes? Are they a mix of more recently created one? Tell me about the collection.
These are as many as we could gather of the full size robes made in the last, is it 40, 50? Yeah. I don't remember exactly. But in recent time, and Lily was able to help pull together the biggest gathering of these robes that we know of.
Wow, that's amazing.
And so last night we surprised the audience, and I guess it was streamed also. It's on YouTube,
it's
I think.
Live streamed from KTOO.
Yes. So that was just so amazing to be a part of and help gather and witness history.
So how, tell me, I'm trying to wrap my, I didn't see it, and I'll look at the K2 file now that I'm being explained about this, but so tell me a little bit visually, what does that look like bringing together? How many robes was it, and how are they kind of presented, and how, I'm wondering, how do you surprise an audience with this? how did that happen?
Yeah. Very carefully.
Very. Well, the original event was actually just planned to be the collection of child-sized robes woven by the mentor weavers.
I remember talking to Lily about that, you know, and a lot of that was happening at the Zach Gordon Youth Center and those kinds of things, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it was supposed to be the larger collection of child-sized robes. And so that was the event planning from beginning that the public knew about. And then in the shadows, Ray was doing her magic. And so actually, even in the recording of the children on stage dancing the robes, they think they're leaving the stage. They think they've done their job. And then you hear the call out of the adult dance group and the kids start looking around and these full-sized robes come into the theater from all directions. And it didn't just caught everybody who attended, but also the people who were dancing, the children who were dancing the robes had no idea this was happening either. So it was a massive, massive undertaking, and keeping it under wraps was a challenge at best. So good night, Chish Ray.
It was amazing. There was probably, I want to say our final count was almost 30 full-size kind of ensembles. Mm-hmm. Some of them were just an apron or just, you know, depending on what was available, how many dancers we ended up having.
Were they mostly from Juno or were they from
across? A lot of them were from Juno. Some were brought in by other weavers or some flew in yesterday morning to be a part of it. Mm-hmm. It was really just surreal to be bringing these things together that have never visited each other. Mm-hmm. And then to be in the room while they're dancing. Kate was there.
Yeah.
The room was so electric. I am still buzzing.
Yes.
You could feel every ancestor with us, and it was magic.
It speaks to the power of this art form. It speaks to the deep meaning of each one of these pieces. And so did the robes kind of travel separately, or did the people bring them in who were then going to dance with them, or how did
so
all that?
So some people brought their own and got to dance their own work. Others, one weaver brought her own robe, and three others from John Beard, who is in Oregon and not able to travel. So they took protection of those and guaranteed that we would take very good care of them. So a lot of them traveled separately, but a few were kind of, you know, brought together. Kay Parker was definitely one of the ones here locally that had, I think, six total ensembles. Shken George had at least four pieces in it. Della Cheney is also local and had two robes present. I'm probably blanking. I'm so sorry.
I want to say a thank you to everyone who came, participated, showed up, danced, or brought regalia.
Yes, ganashish.
And then are the robes now going to be displayed in some way with the museum, or how does that work?
Yeah, so at the City Museum all summer long, we are so honored and excited that we will have a number of these robes, primarily the child size robes. So if for those of you who may have come to the City Museum last summer when we had the Chilkat child sized robes, this will be a similar layout of an exhibit, but all Raven's Tail. And it will just be incredible to be to have all of those robes in this space. We also are extremely excited that we have a it's so beautiful. We were all just up there at the museum helping with install today. But we have the Hands Across Time robe as well that is, was part of the Sway exhibit at the State Museum previously. And so we have that in the center of the room looking like it's being danced, and a whole bunch of child-sized robes and headdresses. And I believe there's some leggings as well. And it's just an incredible gathering of this Yesh Kuwu Raven's Tail weaving, and it will be on display at the City Museum all summer long.
Well, that's really cool. And, you know, I just thanks so much for coming in and giving a recap. So often on this show and in when you're publicizing events, you talk about an event that's about to happen and you never get to hear, well, how was it?
Yeah, and the context and everything. And the context.
So it's so great to hear how an event that went off even more amazingly than you maybe thought it was going to. And that's just it's really cool and inspiring to hear your story about bringing that together. All that work really seems like it ended up in a big way paying off.
It did. Yeah. We knew it would.
Yeah.
But it's just so impressive when it does happen.
Yeah, and it's really cool.
And it works out just the way it's supposed to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
Well, anything else you want to tell us about for City Museum stuff? Like, you have to, you know, kind of go down the list.
We've got, of course, the walking tours
and all the cool stuff that's going on, right?
Before we get to the City Museum, there's one other connected piece up with these
robes. Let's talk about that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we have another exhibit opening today as well, and it is the touring exhibit of myself and Ray and 13 other accomplished artists of the Traveling Masks exhibit. It is called the Protection, Adaption, and Resistance exhibit, and it will be installed and opening the same day as well. So if you come down and see one, I recommend you come down and see them both.
Yeah, so that'll be at the State Museum. So it'll be just a fantastic Friday. So we have our exhibit opening at the City Museum and then this exhibit that is so connected. I mean, they're all, you know, sister sibling weavings all together. So yeah, definitely check out both museums. Big, big night for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know, it's funny the connection between museums when you were describing how you have the Raven's Tail just being displayed now.
Yeah.
It reminded me of the skin works that they had hanging in the State Museum a couple of months ago. And just how even when it's not being danced, they have a life and they're moving and there's movement behind them. And you can just see this sort of human element to those creations.
Yeah.
It's a feeling, I think. It is a being that has been created, and it does have life even when it's not on a person.
Well, I have been told that actually the warps hanging down are the veil between worlds. And as weavers, it is our job to bring something into existence. So we're making new ancestors as we weave that will actually outlive us by generations, which is why these robes have families and caretakers that are entrusted to care for them, because they will outlive us.
It's, you know, and in talking to Lily and to talking, getting the opportunity to talk to you about this art form as well, you know, there's just there's thought behind every single stitch, right? There's thought behind every single element. There's there's actually working the cotton and working all the different things that have to or the wool, sorry, and all the different things that have to, you know, happen. So when you say it's alive in a certain way, or it has life, or it has that it really you can see that
yeah,
it really does.
Everything is made with intention, mm-hmm. and we're putting love and everything from our ancestors and then people before us that are watching even are able to kind of feel this. Yesterday we also did a weavers gathering before the big event. And being in that circle with so many weavers, again, I have yeah. goosebumps everywhere. Yeah. I'm getting emotional all over again.
It's cool to see. It's amazing to see how affected you all are by this. Mm-hmm. You know, that's some of that's performance stuff in a way, right? You know that, Kate, the tingle afterwards, yeah. right? A great opening night or something. But I mean, there's so much more to it as well.
I'm pretty sure there's a video of me like sobbing happy tears watching these robes dance last night. I'm sorry if I was ugly crying.
Give yourself a week or two before you watch it.
Yeah. But it's such an incredible gift to have all of these weavers who have agreed to loan these pieces to uh-huh. the museum so that we can share it with our community here in Juneau, as well as visitors from out of town. And I think that that's something really unique that we have here in Juneau is such an incredible community of artists willing to share their art and kind of bring people into that, and so that people can feel that, you know, they walk into the museum and it's incredible and they have so many questions, and then we can let them know about the history of not only of this art form, but of the Indigenous peoples of the land and the larger history of the colonization of Juneau Douglas. And so it's all connected, and it's an incredible gift to be able to have those conversations with tourists that come to Juneau, because as we all know, tourism is a mixed bag and people have varying opinions on it. But to me, and working at the museum, that's something I really value, is being able to have those conversations and teach people coming here really the depth and beauty that we have in this community from so many walks of life. So.
Yeah, well, no matter how many visitors come, I mean, when visitors come to the City Museum, it's your job and it's your responsibility to fill them in about the history. And like you say, this is artwork that comes with history. I mean, it's not separate from one another.
Exactly.
It is a piece of historical artwork.
Exactly.
That's speaking of a place and of people that live in that place.
Yeah, and we get visitors that come in sometimes that are maybe from certain parts of the country or the world that might have questions like, oh, like what were the people here, or like using past tense, right? And it's a really, really great opportunity to say, oh, yeah, no, this is like a thriving, like, look
we're
at these incredible weavings that like I'm friends with these people that are weaving, you know, it's really amazing to
that
have
really
this
cool.
type of exhibit.
Yeah. Well, while we're talking about City Museum, we've got in a couple more minutes here, just maybe cover some of the other things people should know about what's happening in the City
the
Museum.
Yeah, the quick rundown, again, that opening reception will be May 3rd, and this, the Yehkuwu summer exhibition will go May 3rd all the way through October 19th. So you've got plenty of time to come in, see it, bring friends and family that are visiting. Beginning this Saturday, we will shift to our summer hours. We will be open 7 days a week, Monday through Friday, 9 to 6, Saturday, Sunday from 10 a.m. to 4:30. We will start charging summer admission as well, but that's only $7 for adults, $6 for seniors, and free for under 13 with a ticketed adult.
It's a bargain.
It's a bargain for the amazing things you get to see. We will have our continuing exhibition on Switch and Exchange, the history of telephones in Juneau. We have walking tours starting back up now that we're in the sunny time of year. So check those out. Those are really fun to do. We have a number of specialty walking tours, like geology tours, evergreen cemetery tours. And then the big deadline that is very, very soon is the Marie Darlin Prize deadline, is May 5th, Sunday. So you just have a couple days left. It is open for nominations and also applications. So all of the information on that and our exhibits, hours, everything can also be found on our website.
Is that focused on any particular thing?
The Marie Darlin Prize, the technical, it recognizes outstanding works of artistic, literary, performative, or scholarly merit.
Oh, so it's basically pretty wide open.
It's pretty wide open. And
that's the one that Lily Hope.
That is the one that Lily Hope just recently won. She won the for 2023. We've had Lily Hope. Ernestine Hayes was another recipient, and Maureen Longworth. So it's really recognizing people that are contributing.
That's a good list of people right there. Yeah,
exactly.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's open to anyone who is contributing in a meaningful way, specifically in Juneau or Southeast Alaska, to the artistic or scholarly kind of community. So nominations, and this year also applications. You can apply for yourself. You don't have to be nominated.
Oh, very good.
So it's good to know.
Well, Kate, thanks so much for letting us know what's going on at the City Museum.
Of course.
And Dunedin and Ray, thank you so much to both of you for giving us the play-by-play afterwards of the great evening that you've already had, and also just describing a little bit about the artwork that's being displayed at the City Museum and that came into town and that you helped curate and gather, Ray. Sounds like an incredible amount of work over the past many months.
So worth it.
Yeah, very cool. Well, thanks to all of you for coming in, and thanks so much for all the work that you've been doing. It's just wonderful to be able to talk to you again.
Thank you.
You're listening to Juneau Afternoon on community-supported KTOO. And joining me now from the Juneau Community Bands, Sarah McNair Grove and Ken Geiler's here. Thanks to both of you for coming in. Did I get your last name right, Ken?
Geyer.
Sorry, I added a little L in there or something. I don't know.
I can always use a little.
Geyer. Very good. Well, Ken Geyer, thanks for coming in. And we were playing a little bit of music there that's something that's going to be played coming up. So tell
coming
me about
up,
that.
Yeah. Friday evening at Holy Trinity Episcopal Church at 7 o'clock, we are having a chamber music concert. And chamber music means it's small ensembles of wind instruments of various varieties. And the piece that you were just hearing is played by four tubas, two euphoniums, which is a small tuba, and two tubas. And we have four wonderful players in town who are actually going to be playing that. So you'll see four tubas. And then we have a large...
I like this idea of multiple tubas.
Yes, you don't see
it.
That very
no,
often.
It's pretty
nothing.
Fun.
Yes, and the tubas actually play melodies. It's lovely.
That's what I was thinking. So often you think of a tuba almost as like a bass instrument, you know, just don't. But yeah. But to hear it really carrying melodies and carrying harmonies and all those things, that was really nice.
They really do. You know, my husband is going to be one of those players. And so I listen to him practice. And when he gets out of the oompas, it's really a lovely instrument.
Yes, get away from that. The polka stuff. Yeah, right.
Yeah. A lot of tubing.
Yeah. A lot of tubing, yes. Yeah. Tubular.
And Ken is with me, and he's going to be playing your trumpet solo, so you can talk to him about that.
So tell me about that. Yeah.
Well, I have wanted to play for years the piece called the Artunian Trump Concerto. And I was almost stymied by that the other day because I went to Wikipedia, and it says that the Artunian Trumpet Concerto is a virtuoso showpiece, composed in 1949.
That's a lofty description.
I'm not a virtuoso, but I have a great time playing. But then I worked my way down, and it said something about that it's so popular that it's become a standard. And I said, well, now standard, I can probably reach a standard. But, you know, it's a lot of fun to play. I first heard it in college, and I was a freshman then, and I heard a senior play it, and I said something to my college professor about, well, you know, I'd really like to play that. And he says, no, that piece is not for you. So anyway, that stopped me. So I thought, you know, one of these days I'm going to get even with that guy,
right.
And I'm going to play that trumpet concerto. But it's quite challenging, but it's a lot of fun. And
well, yeah, at this point, you've probably, I'm sure, kind of wrapped yourself around it a little bit. Is it, you're feeling good
you
and confident about?
You could ask my wife about that.
she'll the be wife her, of a trumpet player.
She'll be
boy,
in her garden, right. And she comes in and she'll go, oh, I forgot to do something. Or, oh, you're playing that one again, huh? But other than that, she's very supportive.
Yeah. So, are there spots where you're like, I don't know, I don't have it? Or are you feeling like, okay, I finally
got it all.
I got that guy.
I'm sure I have it all, but it sometimes eludes me.
Well, is there more to cover in this concert as well?
There's more. We also have some woodwind groups. We have a group of 10 clarinets, and they're 4 B-flats and 6 B-flat, which is the sort of the normal clarinet you see, and we have 4 bass clarinets. So that's really kind of a cool group.
That's interesting. Like, I would think a bass clarinet is just an oboe.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? But I'm wrong. I know I'm wrong.
Yeah,
but
a bass clarinet is a very mellow, lower sounding instrument. And to have 4 of them together is really lovely.
I guess the reed is different.
In this case, it's like your string bass in a violin or in a woodwind.
Yeah, it's interesting that you mentioned the different types of tubas as well. I didn't know that. You know, I always...
Well, that's why you come to this concert, because you'll learn all kinds of wonderful things about the wind instruments that you don't normally see. And then we have a woodwind quintet, which is a flute, an oboe, a clarinet, a bassoon, and a non-wood instrument, woodwind instrument, a French horn. I don't know why, but French horn frequently gets grouped with the woodwinds, even though it's a brass instrument. But it makes a very nice
tonal quality.
It makes a very nice combination of sounds,
more mellow sound.
Yeah.
Yep.
Now you're a trumpet player.
Yes.
Do you also play other instruments? When I heard French horn, I wondered.
I was the band director at JDHS for a number of years, and I'd also taught in some of Alaskan schools around the Alaska. I had to learn pretty much all the instruments.
Did you start with trumpet though?
That's always been my main instrument.
That was your one. Yeah.
That was the one.
I imagine you need to get into piano if you're going to do band and stuff like that, right? I mean,
you have to know pretty much all of it.
Right. Well, that's fascinating to know that you have that background.
But I am smart enough to bring an accompanist in whenever I need a piano player.
Yes. You've learned that lesson.
That's definitely not my forte, for lack of a better term.
Right.
Let me just mention one other group that we have also have a large ensemble of French horn players. And this group is kind of fun because it represents the whole gamut of people in our community. We have senior citizens who have been playing many, many, many years, and all the way down to a middle school student, and they're all together. And they're going to be opening the concert with a French horn version of the Alaska flag song. So I'm really looking forward to hearing that. That's going to be cool,
I think. How many people in that group?
I think there's 11.
11 French horns, all just in one room.
All in one room. So
that's every French horn in Juneau, right?
Not quite. There's 14 or 15 that come to this horn club, but they weren't available this weekend. So, you know, Juneau has all these wonderful musicians, and we're just delighted to be able to showcase their talents this weekend.
Yeah. And to do it in a way that, like, maybe stretches their, you know, acumen a little bit, right? Yes. And we're going to go after this one piece that we haven't tried before or that's different in some way.
Yeah. Well, Taku Winds is a wind ensemble, and basically anytime you talk about a wind ensemble, you're talking about a group of ensembles, clarinet quartets, sax quartets, all the different instruments in their little groups, but playing all together. And that's what makes it, developing your group. Really a good way to do that.
Right. You mentioned you mentioned the bass clarinet. Someone who plays the bass clarinet, is that what they play, or do they have a clarinet and then they also, you know, like...
It can be both. Uh-huh. There are people who would specialize in bass clarinet, but they could also play the smaller clarinets because the fingerings are the same. So I play both. My specialty really is the regular B-flat clarinet, but I like getting out the bass clarinet every once in a while. So
What about it is fun for you to use?
It's a lower instrument, and I think when I play the lower parts, I hear the music different than when I'm playing the top parts. And also because it's a lower instrument, it kind of rumbles through you physically more than the smaller instruments do. So it's kind of fun.
Yeah. Well, that's really cool. Well, it's the Juneau Community Bands, and it's the Spring Winds, always a mark of spring.
That's right.
The crocuses have already bloomed for most places.
That's right, and the music is coming up.
The daffodils are just fading, and here comes the spring winds. It's happening Friday night. It's at 7 p.m., and it's at the Holy Trinity Episcopal Church. Donations are gladly accepted.
They are.
I mean, you know, you don't want a dirty look from one of the French horn players. You leave a donation. Come on, right?
We want your presence, but we would love your donations
that's right.
Also.
It keeps it going. It keeps it rolling. It keeps it going. Well, thanks so much. Anything else to cover?
No, just we look forward to seeing you and have a fun evening with all our wind instruments.
Sounds great. It's Friday night again at 7 p.m. Holy Trinity Episcopal Church. It's spring winds. And Sarah and Ken, thanks so much for coming in and telling us a little bit about it. I appreciate it. And thanks for letting me know about the bass clarinet and the multiple tubas.
Yes.
So much fun to hear about it.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
You're listening to Juno Afternoon from Studio 2K at KTOO. I'm your host, Andy Klein, and let's get into Arts Roundup with the Juno Arts and Humanities Council. We've got Phil Hipshins here and Rochelle Bonnet, and also the featured artist for First Friday is here as well, Rebecca Shea. It's Rebecca. Thank you so much for coming
in. Thanks for having me.
Good to meet you. And but Phil, first and foremost, you wanted to talk about something that's coming up real quick. So let's get that going. Let's get that out of the way so people know about this deadline.
Absolutely. More than coming up, it's here right now.
Here it is.
Today right now. It's our deadline for our annual scholarships and grants. Those are all due today. So we have a number of different formats. We have the individual artist grants. Those are up to $1,000. So if you have projects you want to work on or start thinking about or anything, like, please, please, please apply to that. We have the fine arts scholarships. Those are open to middle and high school students, and those are from $250 to $500. And then we have the advanced arts achievement awards, which are $500 to $1,000. And those are for high school seniors and college students up to the age of 25 to just create things, which is what we want to empower. So
this stuff's all online for people.
It's all online. jack.org/scholarships and grants.
There's also a button on the homepage. So if you just go to jack.org and scroll down to the purple buttons, there's one right there. Just click that. Yes. It'll take you to the right spot.
And that's jahc.org, just so people know. Jack, we always say Jack, but J-A-H-C. Yes.
jahc.org. And those opportunities are open till 5 p.m. tonight. So we only have about an hour and a half left, I believe. So get on it.
Get on it. There's money to be made.
Yes.
I will say I was a recipient last year and I thought the deadline was at the end of the day. And so I did log on at 4 and realized it was due at 5. So I did it within an hour. And so you still have plenty of time.
You still have plenty of time.
There is inspiration right there.
Yeah.
You're not a procrastinator. You're just finding out about it right now.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's right. Get on it. You can be a great model. You can, just like Rebecca, you can receive the award.
Yes.
No reason you couldn't.
And this is an excellent segue to Rebecca, because we also have our applications open for our gallery program right now. And those are open a little bit later. Those close at 11:59 p.m. So those are for our gallery shows through next season, which starts in July. I got that wrong. You say it.
October 2024 through September of 2025.
Thank you.
You
Rochelle.
Confused October with July just
I
now?
Confuse,
is that what just happened?
I confuse everything with everything. General rule of thumb, if I'm talking to you directly, you should just like assume I have no idea what I'm saying.
But in this case of the grants, you do have.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes, it is. It's written on paper in front of me, so I'm sure of those points.
You know, one thing I wanted to just mention, you mentioned, so it's sort of, there's some splitting out by age group. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to mention, I think, Rebecca, what you were saying, just reminding me of this, is that, you know, as a younger person, especially, if you're at all serious about wanting to pursue an artistic career or just do something that's artistic, these kinds of programs are what you got to start locking into, mm-hmm. right? You got to start figuring out grants and funding and ways to kind of get that stuff going. And the JAC mm-hmm. and a community like Juno, we're a small community to have this amazing organization like the JAC mm-hmm. that gives people the opportunity to do this. So anyway, just...
Well, no, that's a great note. And I think it's also worth saying that, especially for like the fine arts scholarships, which are open to middle schoolers, apply even if you're not that serious and you just want to try something out and you want to start exploring what art can look like for you. That's the purpose of these grants. So definitely think more expansively about it.
Yeah, that's that's such a great opportunity for folks. Well, Rebecca, let's talk about your artwork. Yeah. You're the featured artist for the first Friday that's happening. So you're the featured artist then all of May as well, right?
Yes, I think through May 22nd.
And you said you work in fiber.
I work in fiber. So
what sorts of fiber and how would you describe your work?
Yeah, so I predominantly work with yarn, like in crocheting, as well as embroidery. But this particular show, it'll be a lot of giant crocheted stuff. So the name of the show is called Bite Sized, and it's it will be up through May 26th. So it'll be set up Friday for everyone to come to enjoy, 4 to 7. But going back to it, it's an interactive, kind of just larger than life kind of experience, and it's all inspired by food.
You say larger than life, do you mean that like the actual yarn is sort of almost like
the object that it has been crocheted into will be larger than life? I keep wanting to say life size, but life size hot dogs are only like, you know, a foot long.
Yes. So this, if you're lucky,
larger than life.
If you're lucky, it's a foot long. I mean, yeah, that's a great hot dog.
Go to Costco.
Yeah. These are larger than a foot long hot dogs.
Larger than life size.
These are like, you're talking 4 feet? You're talking...
You'll have to go and see.
Okay, that's
I feel like that's kind
great.
Of the...
Yeah, okay, very good. But I love it. I love that idea.
Yeah. So I have a lot
larger,
of...
Larger, and so that's such a fun... there's a certain whimsy that happens when you make objects larger, right?
Yeah.
You know, it's fun.
Yeah.
It's a different way of looking at stuff.
So my main motivation was I just wanted to make a big hot dog, and I decided I needed to like add a little bit more meaning to it. And so when you guys walk into the Jack Gallery, on one side, it'll be kind of like the Chinese Asian foods that I grew up with. And then on the other side, it'll be the Western foods that were later introduced to me. And so there's kind of like a little split and comparison of those two kind of cultural foods.
And they're all crocheted or are they?
Yeah, they're all the big ones are crocheted. And then kind of in the middle, there's like a mini grocery store. Those will be life size. Yes. So like more accurate to size of like what those vegetables and fruits would look like. But then the stuff on the ends will be a little bit bigger and then some illustrations of foods that I've eaten growing up. And so, the Jack has also been very, you know, friendly with about reception food ideas. And so there'll be very thematic snacks as well.
Tell me about how this all kind of. How did this become the project you wanted to work on? It's so fun sounding, but it just sounds like. Sort of like, I'm going to macrame food.
Yeah.
Honestly,
I just wanted to make a big hot dog and I wanted a reason to do it. Okay. And
I've already explained it.
Yeah. That's really it. I just also really love food. And so it just seemed like a great way to like merge. And I love making things that make me happy and make other people laugh. And so this is kind of a culmination.
Well, that's really cool. Yeah. I'm really excited about seeing it. It sounds really fun. Okay. So let's head into now Arts Roundup for the rest of the week, month, however long you want to take us here.
Sure.
Let's head into it.
So across the street from the Jack, over in the Davis Gallery at Centennial Hall, we have the Juno Wildlife Portraits. That's a show that's been up since last month and it's continuing through the month. So you can see paintings and photographs by Susan Watson and Christopher Grau. That'll be open from 4 to 7 p.m. And then additionally, at Centennial Hall, the Capital City Quilters will be having their 2020 quilt show. So that's a big thing. I believe they set up in the ballroom and it's just this like huge, amazing exhibit of textiles and quilts. So definitely stop by
and see that. I've been by it a couple of times in the past. It is really remarkable. Even if you think you're not like a quilt person, go to this. It's really fascinating. Yeah.
And it's a short show. So on Friday, they're open from 12 to 7 and then they're open through the weekend. It looks like Saturday from 10 to 6 and then Sunday from 10 to 4. So it's free and it also is a professionally juried quilt show. So there will be some live quilting demonstrations and vendor and gift sales, as well as a silent auction.
Mm-hmm. Very cool.
Yeah, I feel like there's a lot of like fiber and textile arts going on this month, which is really exciting. I want to shout out the Juno Douglas City Museum as well. They're opening the Yale Kuwu exhibit.
We just heard about it for 20 minutes
earlier
in the show.
Kate was just here. Yes. We saw them walk out.
Yes. That one's been covered, but it is wonderful.
Listen, go to it. It's great. Yeah. I got to see a part of the event that was in Centennial Hall. Was that last night?
Yes.
Last night.
Yes.
And it was amazing. Another one that I'm really excited about. If you were born and raised in Juneau, you will know exactly what I'm talking about. about Aunt Claudia's Dolls is having a soft reopening, which
oh my god.
I'm really excited.
Amazing.
I'm going to stop by there. They have, it sounds like
the stuff of legend.
Yeah. Yeah.
That place, stuff of legend.
So many childhood memories.
Yes. Creepy memories. Just dolls, you know, I'm just one of those people that gets a little creeped out by dolls, but that's just me.
That's fair.
That says more about me than it does about the dolls.
Well, it sounds like they've had a lot of renovation work, so they have new displays for their Northern Indigenous collection.
Oh, very cool.
So I'm excited to see the kind of work that's going into everything there. Yeah. We have a lot of other things happening this month, too. We have Stress-Free Art Night on May 15th at 5:30 p.m. If you haven't been to one of those events before, it's just open form. Come. There's no charge. It's by donation. And the theme this month is drawing, I believe.
That's right.
So it's a great format to just experiment and see what you like doing. And we have staff and very experienced people present to help you along the way.
That sounds really fun. Yeah. I like that.
That's great. And then we have a market on May 18th from 10 to 1 p.m. And those are always really exciting. We have a lot of vendors, a lot of people there. So if you want to come buy gifts, see what people in Juneau are doing, it's a great place to be. And then the Maritime Festival is this weekend, which I'm also really excited about. There's just so much.
Yeah. And May, you know, it does feel like this is like the gathering of the push to all the fun stuff that happens all summer. Mm-hmm. May is such a great month in Juneau. And registration for Wearable Art, is that one thing that's coming up?
Oh, yeah. Thank you. So we are accepting registrations for that right now. The deadline to register is May 17th. Mm-hmm. And we just talked about this earlier on the other radio station, but if you're out there and you've been thinking about
what other radio station, what are you talking about?
Sorry.
acknowledge there are other radio stations.
You don't have to have a completed piece. That was the thing that I just really wanted to, you know, make sure everybody knows. You don't have to have a piece that's ready to go on the runway. Mm-hmm. You just have to have an idea, a concept, and get your registration in by the 17th.
Is the Wearable Art Show still in February?
It's actually moved to September.
Okay.
So
okay.
September.
Timeline's different than it has been.
Why we're accepting registrations now through mid-May. And so the show is September 21st through the 22nd this year.
Okay, great. Yeah, well, that's what's fun to think about wearable art again.
Yes,
happening.
It is.
Yeah.
And like Rochelle mentioned, if you don't have anything completed, that's totally fine. We at the Jack are here to help artists or anyone who wants to make a piece through this process, because it can feel pretty daunting. Mm-hmm. So we're all here to help you guys. Like if you have questions, if you're not sure how to start, just give us a call or write us an email and we'll walk you through.
I've seen that firsthand. I was a part of Wearable Art many years ago, and boy, it's just a big collaborative, mm-hmm. amazing community of people that just want to have this incredible show and show off this artwork and help each other. It's an awesome thing. Well, thank you guys so much for coming in, giving us the quick roundup. And Rebecca Shea is going to be the featured artist for First Friday. So check out her work on Friday of Larger Than Life and Life Size Macrame Food crochet. Items, crochet, not macrame. Did I say macrame before?
Yeah.
I did? Yeah. Sorry, crochet. I think I know the difference. I'm sorry. I like macrame too, you know?
A different show.
And applique, and I don't know. I don't know these things.
Hot dogs.
Hot dogs. Okay, sorry. Crocheted hot dogs. So that's what's going on. Sounds like a really fun thing happening over in the gallery at the Jack. And Phil and Rochelle, thank you so much for coming in. And
Thank you. Letting us know what's going on.
Yeah.
Great talking to you. You're listening to Juneau Afternoon on community-supported KTOO. Andy Klein with you, and joining me now, Carl Broderson. And Carl, you are one of the people that helps organize the Blessing of the Fleet and the Reading of the Names every year.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. That's me.
Tell me a little bit about, I think we kind of know what happens. I've been to it a few times, but tell me a little bit about maybe the somewhat of the history of the Blessing of the Fleet that happens in Juneau. And
absolutely.
Yeah.
The ceremony is centered around the Commercial Fishermen's Memorial, which was built in the early 90s. Many towns throughout the world that have an important connection to the ocean will have these. It's a way of acknowledging that making your living on the ocean is extremely perilous.
Yes.
And also, you know, times change as well. And it's important to remember as ways of life, you know, shift throughout the decades, that this was an important part of making modern Juneau what it is, and is still a very important part of the economy. And so this is a way to acknowledge the importance of commercial fishing in and of itself, but then also to remember the people who in some cases gave their lives to the industry. It does serve as a gravesite for 263 people now, and 59 of them were lost at sea. So in that case, it is their only gravesite.
Oh, that's really interesting. I had never really quite put that together, that for those people that unfortunately were lost, this is the place that maybe their families can gather to remember them and all those kinds of things that happen at any other gravesite.
Absolutely, yes. This is where, for them especially, the flowers can go.
Yeah, right. And when was the actual monument that's there by the Twisted Fish and Taku's fisheries there? When was that put together?
I used to have these dates memorized. Oh, I think, no, 1991, 92, 93.
I was going to say, yeah. I remember it being mid-90s. Yeah. I think I was here when it was happening, so it must have been mid-90s. Yeah.
Construction, it took a long time. There's a wonderful history of it on our website. If you just Google Alaska Commercial Fisherman's Memorial, it'll come up, and it shows pictures even of the stages of getting it built. And then once it was far enough along, I think there was just a concrete pad. They did the first memorial, or a first blessing of the fleet ceremony there before it was even finished. And now this year it's going to be the 34th.
Wow. Yeah. Amazing. And so it sounds like you're going to have good weather. Tell people about how they can participate this year.
We're going to have amazing weather. Yes.
Yeah.
Where's some wood around here?
I know. It's all Formica or something. I don't know.
Perfect.
It's under there.
The forecast does look good. Yes. The ceremony is always the first Saturday in May at 10 a.m. And so this year that is Saturday, May 4th. And people should gather around the memorial itself if they want to celebrate on land. And if you have a vessel that you would like blessed, there's a element of the ceremony that does that. Come by and listen to Channel 10, and you can hear the entire presentation.
I was going to say, I saw that on the website that it's broadcast on VHF Channel 10, which is so appropriate that it's mm-hmm. also broadcast VHFs as well.
Yeah.
And how many do boats come in and all kinds of stuff happens? Is that right?
Or, yes.
Yeah. So
absolutely.
Tell me about the how it will look, how it typically looks.
The view from land is that we'll have a first vessel, in this case, the Willowa, will be in right next to the memorial, tied up to the dock. They will leave at the appropriate time, drop a reef, and be blessed, and then head out to the channel. And then other boats that are in the channel will swoop back in, and they'll do subsequent drive-bys and be blessed as they go along. And, you know, it moves at boat pace. And so it's a relaxed affair where, unfortunately, we have bagpipes that are covering the entire experience, so that even during the pauses where one boat vacates the area and another one comes in, it's still very moving because of Juneau pipes and drums providing musical accompaniment.
And how about how long does it last? Is it a half hour or hour kind of a thing?
Anymore, it's right about 35 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So especially on the days when we do not have good weather, it's nice to
move it along.
Yeah. Keep it succinct. There's no need to dwell on it.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. How did you get involved in being a part of this?
I have family on the wall, and more as the years go by. And so my cousin, Linnea, was one of the original people that helped to get it built. And I was on the board for a long time and asked if I would be interested. And I can't say no to a seat on a board, which is why I'm on three of them. I'm very happy to be giving to our community.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know, obviously, you get involved in sailing and maritime type things like that. And yeah. So it seems something that's close to you.
Yeah, absolutely. It's hard to avoid the ocean in a place like this. Yeah. Who would want to?
No, you don't avoid it. Yeah, it's not good to avoid it. Well, again, it's the next blessing of the fleet and reading of names. Do you know how many names or that sort of thing yet that will be read? Or
we have to be read will be 263 this year, and we're adding six new ones this year.
And six new ones.
Yeah. And it's, for a while there, looked like we weren't going to have any, which is always a mixed
good
blessing.
Yeah,
right? But
right,
we have to remember that it takes a couple of years for people to catch up if they want to. You know, the grieving process takes time. You don't always do it immediately. And also there are, you know, people who, you know, died very happily in their sleep, and their families will add them. But then there are other people who are my age who died way, way too young. Mm-hmm. So it's a real mix.
Yeah. Yeah. And just remembering all of those people is important. And like you say, giving a place for the families of those people to kind of concentrate their feelings and remember people by is such an important thing.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's very important to the grieving process.
Well, it's happening as it always does every year on the first Saturday in May. That's this Saturday, May 4th. It's going to be held at 10 a.m. and lasts about half hour to an hour, something like that. And it's broadcast on VHF Channel 10. And so everyone's invited to attend. If someone has a boat and wants to attend, can they just pull up in a boat sort of and be around in that area?
Absolutely, yes. If you linger, the folks that want to go first are going to go, and they'll show you exactly where to be, and then just sort of naturally work your way into the pattern. And we've done fishing boats, pleasure boats, sailboats have gone through. I think the Malaspina did one year when they were docked nearby for the 50th anniversary of AMHS. Yeah, and anyone who is interested, absolutely come on by.
Well, thanks, Carl. Thanks so much for letting us know about it. It's the blessing of the fleet, and Carl Brodesen was telling us all about it. Carl, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Hey, and remember to tune in on the radio or online for the special two-hour edition of Juneau Afternoon this Friday. That's May 3rd from 2 to 4 p.m. for a kickoff celebration that's honoring 50 years of KTOO. There's still a few seats left for Friday's audience for Juneau Afternoon. So if you're interested in attending, you can email us at juneauafternoon@ktoo.org. Once again, it starts at 2 o'clock on Friday. It's broadcast as a regular Juneau Afternoon, but it's a two-hour edition. It's going from 2 to 4. And then after the broadcast, there's going to be an open house right here at 360 Egan. And there's going to be a show starting at 4 p.m. showing all kinds of really great memorabilia and artwork through the years of KTOO, photographs, lots of people you'll recognize, or maybe people you've heard on the radio and you never knew what they looked like. You'll see them on the wall and you can figure out who's who. There's going to be refreshments and, of course, all that history on display. So join us this Friday from 2 to 4 p.m. and drop by afterwards at after 4 p.m. for the kickoff celebration honoring 50 years of KTOO. And that's going to do it for Juneau Afternoon, broadcast live on KTOO 104.3 FM, online at ktoo.org, and rebroadcast on the station at 7 p.m. For more info on the show or to listen to past shows, you can go to ktoo.org/Juneau Afternoon. Boston Christopher is our producer, and we added help today from Aaron Tripp. And our theme music you're hearing right now is by Indian Agent. I'm Andy Klein, your host for today. Really happy to sit in on this Wednesday. Until next time, thanks for joining the conversation from all of us at KTOO. Have a great, great day. It's beautiful out.